All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm putting it all on the line here. I'm going to tell you what I believe Paul saw when he went to the third heaven. Paul doesn't say what he saw. He doesn't say what he heard. But based on the truth I've been bringing you in the last few days from the scripture, Colossians 3:3, Galatians 2:20, where I haven't gone yet, but I will go today, 2 Corinthians 5:16, the truth that we died, our lives, our true lives, the new humanity is hid together with Christ in God, and the fact that we are not to consider ourselves in the flesh anymore, and the fact that one of our own, namely the Apostle Paul, was taken to the third heaven. I'm putting it all together. I'm the assembler. I've taken all these pieces, and I will give to you today what I believe Paul saw. I hinted at it yesterday, but today I'm going to give you more exhaustive study on it, which I don't know that you're going to find anywhere else. And I'm going to back myself up with scripture. I cannot say this definitively, that this is what Paul saw, what I'm going to present to you today. But I think it's as good of a belief as any. And this is now my belief. It's as good as any. I can't be definitive again. I can't be adamant about this. But when I lay this out to you, I think it's going to make sense to you because it's scriptural. Let's first go to the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 1. If boasting must be, though it is not expedient, indeed, yet I shall also be coming to apparitions and revelations of the Lord. I am acquainted with a man in Christ 14 years before this, whether in a body, I am not aware, or outside of the body, I am not aware. God is aware. Such a one was snatched away. Interesting, Paul uses the same term that is used when we are snatched away into the celestial realms. Of course, it's a generic term. It means to take by force. But I think it's significant that this context is the same kind of context as we find in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 when we are snatched away to be with Christ. Paul was snatched away where? To the third heaven. What's the third heaven? I'm going to tell you. But let's get through this passage. And I'm acquainted with such a man. He can't even talk about himself in the first person because it was so great. It was so wonderful what happened to him that it's almost like it happened to somebody else. I'm acquainted with such a man. Whether in a body or outside of the body, I am not aware. God is aware that he was snatched away into paradise and hears ineffable declarations, which is not allowed a human to speak. Over such a one I shall be boasting, yet over myself I shall not be boasting except in my infirmities. Here's a man who was beset with infirmities. His old humanity. I've been telling you about two different humanities. The new humanity and the old humanity. The old humanity has been crucified with Christ. Romans chapter 6. But this truth is not yet realized in the body. This is where I use the analogy of phantom limb pain. Where somebody has a leg amputated, they still feel pain where there is no leg. Because the brain is slow to catch up with the truth of what has happened to the body. Here's a truth that is declared, that there has come new. There is a new humanity. And yet we're still stuck in the old humanity. We still feel the pains of sin, the pains of disease, the pains of discouragement and death. And yet we know that there is a new humanity. And we are to think of ourselves as a new humanity, even while we are dying down here. But one of our own went into the third heaven, where the new humanity, now we're getting to it, is completed. I had a talk this week called You Died. Very bold statement by Paul. Part of our evangel, you died. Part of our evangel. The old humanity died. And your life is hid. There is a life that you have. I believe it's the new humanity. Paul says Christ is making us into a new humanity. That life is hid together with Christ in God. So real to God that it's there, practically there. And now Paul is actually going to a time. He's going to the third heaven in time, not in space. I'm going to explain that to you. Let's finish 2 Corinthians 12. Then I'm going to go to Galatians 2:20. Then I'm going to tell you what I believe Paul saw and heard. It's going to blow your mind. Put your seatbelts on for this. This is real. Over such a one I shall be boasting it over myself. I shall not be boasting except in my infirmities. For if ever I should be wanting to boast, I shall not be imprudent, for I shall be declaring the truth. Yet I am reticent. No one should be reckoning me to be above what he is observing of me or anything he is hearing of me. We still have that little thing we call observation. I'm surprised here Paul is walking by observation. But no, actually he's not. He says, no one should be judging me to be above what he is observing. Yeah, so we're all still stuck in the realm of observation. And Paul doesn't want anyone to think too much of him. But watch what comes next. Because what happened to him, what he saw, he wouldn't be able to stand it himself. He wouldn't be able to endure the thoughts that he had of himself, let alone what other people think of him. It was what he would have thought of himself after what he saw. Because this is what happened to him after he was taken to the third heaven and returned to good old terra firma. Wherefore also, lest I should be lifted up by the transcendence, lest I should be lifted up. Paul personally could have been lifted up by the transcendence. And this is a word that only Paul uses. By the transcendence of the revelation, there was given to me a splinter in the flesh. So I guess the flesh that Paul already had, the weak, ignoble flesh, the sick, dying flesh, was not enough. The transcendence of the revelation was so transcendent that Paul needed a further debilitation, a further cut in his flesh to humble him. Him personally, remember that, him personally. Lest I should be lifted up by the transcendence of the revelation. There was given to me a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, that he may be buffeting me, lest I may be lifted up. This is a side note. The only other time this phrase lifted up is used is when it speaks of the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who lifts himself up above everyone termed a god. This is, I think the prefix of this Greek word is hooper, which is above. Over above. Lest I be lifted up, like totally lifted up to accord with the transcendence of the revelation. Lest that happen, a messenger of Satan has come to me. And this term is such a high term to be lifted up in one's own estimation that it's only used one other time in the scripture to describe the man of lawlessness who lifts himself up in the temple and says that I am God, declares that he is God. So something that Paul saw had to do with God, I'm making this connection, and with him personally, lest I be lifted up. It's a personal thing. Remember, I told you always, I said, who he calls beforehand, who he designates beforehand, Romans 8, these he calls. Whom he calls, these he justifies. Whom he justifies, these he glorifies. You personally will be glorified. It's an I thing. It's the new I. It's the new humanity. And keep this in mind throughout. We have an old humanity and a new humanity. And we're always wrestling with this. The new humanity is hid with Christ in God. The old humanity is dead, but we're still feeling, we're still scratching it. We still feel the pain of it. Now, Galatians 2, verse 20. With Christ have I been crucified. I give you that truth over and over again. It's from Romans chapter 6, I think verse 6. Read all of Romans 6, you'll find it. With Christ have I been crucified, yet I am living. See, here's this conundrum. I've been crucified with Christ, yet I'm still living. What's with that? But living in me is Christ. And Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's the expectation that we have. the earnest of our inheritance, that we have an earnest of the Spirit in us now, and that is to guarantee that the rest of the Spirit will come. It's as good as done. That's why Paul speaks of it proleptically. That is, calling what is not as though it were. That's just a fancy name for a figure of speech, which is calling what is not as though it were, because it's so sure to happen that we might as well just say it has. We are now seated among the celestials in Christ. Proleptic statement. But these are going to become more important to us as we slog through the final years of Millennium 6, and we try to come to grips with our new life that is hid together with Christ in God. That's where we're to be. And in the same context of Colossians 3:3, Paul says, set your affection on things above, not things on the earth, for you died. That's the prelude to this. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth. Why? Because you died. And then 2 Corinthians 5:16 plays into that we're no longer to consider ourselves according to flesh. And along that line, listen to this. Galatians 2:20, with Christ have I been crucified, yet I'm living, but no longer I, living in me is Christ. Now that which I am now living in flesh, that is the old humanity, I am living in faith. I'm living in faith that what I'm now suffering through in flesh is the old humanity, and it has been crucified, and that my next life, the new humanity that I will assume, that is now hid with Christ in God, is so real that I am living in faith in that new humanity. That which I am now living in flesh, I am living in faith that is of the Son of God. Only the Son of God can give you this kind of faith to inhabit your new body and your new humanity before you even have it. But it's so real that your mind's already there. Your spirit is already there. Your joy is already there. Your desire is already there. And everything that this earth has, including your old body, has no interest to you. And you're just doing enough to get this frame through, to get this body through. You got to put your deodorant on. You got to brush your teeth. You have to exercise. You have to eat something just to get this thing, drag this frickin' flesh buggy across the finish line. Because it's going to be traded in for a new body. Yes. I got to read this whole thing again. That which I am now living in flesh, I'm living in faith. When you hear flesh, think faith. You have to have faith if you're thinking flesh. I don't even want you to think of flesh. I want you to think of the new creation. I want you to think of where your new humanity is hidden with Christ in God. That's where your affections are to be set. Set your affections on things above, where Christ is. Why is that important? Because that's where our life is hid, our real life, our essential life. What we only now have an impart measure of spirit concerning. But when we are filled full with the Spirit, when we have it without measure, as our Lord did when he was on earth, we will inhabit that place and we will inhabit our new bodies. But they're like being held for us. They're reserved for us. It's like they're already there. Wait till I get back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That which I'm now living in flesh, I'm living in faith that is of the Son of God who loves me and gives himself up for me. I'm not repudiating the grace of God. Because only the grace of God is going to make this thing happen. So, with Christ, I've been crucified, yet I'm living. Seems to be a contradiction here. But it's no longer I who am living, but living in me is Christ. So I've given up on the I that is the old humanity. And it's just a carcass I'm dragging around until I get to the essential me. Now, what did Paul see? From everything I've told you, all these background verses, inspired words of God from the Holy Spirit given to Paul, from all I've told you, you should now be able to get it yourself. I believe the Apostle Paul saw the body of Christ completed. I believe he saw himself finished. The third heaven is not the third heaven in space. Like we had the atmosphere, the troposphere, or the stratosphere, the troposphere, the exosphere, the celestial realm. No, it's the third heaven in time. It's the third heaven that corresponds with the third earth. We have three earths we're dealing with during the Aeonian times. The first earth was disrupted, followed by the second earth, which we're presently on. This earth will be destroyed by fire, and it'll bring a new heavens and a new earth. John tells us about that. John was also transported, whether in a body or outside of a body, he didn't know. He didn't know if he actually went there or it was a vision. I think he actually went there, just like Paul actually went somewhere. If I had to guess, I'd say it's in a body, but it doesn't really matter. He went to the third heaven in time. He went to the future. He didn't just see a video of how things might be. He went to the actual future. This is not a difficult thing because the future is as set in stone as the past. The future exists in the mind of God. It's no big trick to take someone into the future. Paul saw himself completed. He saw you and me completed. He saw the entire body of Christ perfected. And this is a terrible time to bring up the movie Back to the Future. But there's a part where McFly sees himself. He goes back to the future, he goes into the future, back to the past. I don't know which it was, but he actually sees himself as a younger man. In this case, Paul saw himself, the future Paul, the Paul that was complete. It's like he's looking at himself. This is like the old humanity. Paul's still in a body, still in the old humanity, and yet he is given a look into the new humanity, into his life that was hid. But for a brief moment in time, God unveiled that life for Paul. In a moment, in an instant, he couldn't tell you how long it was. That life was no longer hid. It was revealed to him. And he didn't see an apparition of himself. He didn't see a projection of himself. He didn't see a model of himself. He saw himself perfected. And it was so great that he couldn't stand it. It was so transcendent that he couldn't bear the glory of it. And he was so lifted up, potentially lifted up by the glory and the greatness. He already saw us. Paul already, I believe Paul already saw us. That's how sure your perfection is and mine. He saw us already. When we see Paul, we think he'll be seeing us for the first time. No, he's already seen us as the celestial beings that we are guaranteed to be. It's so transcendent that Paul had to be humbled. So the potential was so great to think, I am as God. And we shall be as God. Do you know that? We shall be as God because we're going to be in Christed. We're going to become sons of God. And the only other time this term, lifted up, lest I be lifted up, is when the man of lawlessness declares himself to be God. That's the kind of transcendence we're talking about. We're talking about power and glory superlative. And it is reserved for us in the heavens. And it is hid with Christ in God. And Paul saw it.